Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to SportsBeat KC, the Kansas City Star Sports Podcast. I'm Blair Kirkhoff. On April 2nd, voters of Jackson County will determine the future of the Chiefs and the Royals. On the ballot is an extension of a 3/8-cent sales tax that's expected to raise some $2 billion over the next 40 years. And with that funding and with contributions from the teams, the Royals would build a new stadium in the Crossroads District, and the Chiefs plan renovations at Arrowhead. The vote is expected to be close. On today's episode, columnists Sam McDowell and Vahe Gregorian share their thoughts on the yes and no campaigns. And we frame the discussion this way: why the tax won't be approved by the voters and why the tax will be approved by the voters. It's an emotional issue with many layers, and we discuss them all. Okay, let's get started with Vahe Gregorian and Sam McDowell. Big vote coming up on April 2nd. First time since 2006 that Kansas Cityans, Jackson Countyans, have been asked to support a tax to basically fund the Chiefs and the Royals, or partially fund the Chiefs and the Royals. And very emotional topic for those of us who, you know, work in the sports world and feel passionate about this. I wanted to talk to you guys, Vahe Gregorian and Sam McDowell, about what might happen on April 2nd, and what are the ramifications for the vote either way, if no wins or if yes wins. So let's start off by talking about April 2nd comes and goes, and the votes are tallied, and it fails. First of all, it'll set something of a historical precedent, because every vote that Jackson Countyans have had in history when it comes to supporting funding sports teams or arenas or stadiums has passed, except for the Rolling Roof. But back in 1936, Municipal Auditorium, or 35, Municipal Auditorium passed, and Kemper Arena and Truman Sports Complex and renovations for the Arrowhead and Kauffman. And now voters of Jackson County are being asked for the extension of the 3/8-cent sales tax to support the Chiefs and the Royals. So if it fails, why will it have failed? Sam, let's start with you.
Just not a great campaign, I think, from the get-go. There hasn't been a clearly articulated reason for why the Royals are moving downtown. And there's I think, long been the assumption that a lot of people would be more accepting of this than they are. I think they've miscalculated the amount of dissent that they were going to have from this, and didn't necessarily, at least it hasn't been evident that there was a game plan for what was going to happen if people did dissent against this. I think that the rationale for the project has been a moving target that's been hard for people to grasp onto. And, you know, I mean, therefore they're left with, you know, a lot of confusion, I think, to the voters. And with that comes what we've been doing, which is asking a lot of questions. And I don't think they've been able to clearly articulate a lot of the answers to the most serious questions we have about the project either.
I'll add my two bits, but I'll start with saying this. Really, there's nobody in the Kansas City area, nobody, and I'd add nationally, that is more dialed into this than Sam McDowell. I mean, really, I am amazed at what you've put into this and what you've gotten out of it and how informed you've made our readers from that. I think it's been vital and really just great. The only things I can think to add to that are, You know, there still is an affection for the K, no doubt about that. And you could call it nostalgia, but it's not like being at the Oakland Coliseum or at Qualcomm Stadium in its last days when those places were horrendous. The K is still a great vital experience. So I think that's a factor. And I do think this is a little extension of something Sam said, but I do think this is true. As Sam referred to moving the goalposts a little bit on this project, you know what sticks out to me the most is this was unfurled as we're going to revitalize downtown. And now you cannot get away from the idea that the theme is this vote is to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County. And the implied threat in that, that I believe is getting more and more open-ended intentionally. And I think that's complicated because I resent it. I think a lot of people I know resent it. And yet you kind of have to, for lack of a better term, respect it because, you know, there could be some teeth in that. Now, what that means, I don't know exactly. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs will leave the Kansas City area. I do think it's certainly possible the Royals could go to Kansas or some local manifestation of this. But there seems to be a purpose to them referring to it as open-ended, all options on the table and things like that, just to lift that. And people I talk to around town really hate that, really dislike that that's the approach they're taking. And it is quite a lot different than saying, this is our chance to, you know, revitalize downtown.
Do you think their polling has changed their approach, the polling, maybe their internal polling? I haven't seen any. I don't think we've written about polls.
It's a dead heat right now. I mean, it's very, very tight right now, according to the polls. Now, the polls are a difficult representation because it's these types of things don't get significant turnout. I think they're hoping that a third of the electorate will come out and vote, but I think that's pretty ambitious.
They're not going to get a third. In 2006, it was 18%.
Yeah. And so, they had two of these things on the ballot.
And that was the Rolling Roof and the 3/8-cent sales tax.
I could see them eclipsing that mark. But Vahe made a great point that, you know, I mean, and I think it's what differentiates this from the items that you listed, Blair, which is that they're taking away something that a lot of people like with this vote. And those other votes didn't have that same thing. I don't think anybody was super attached to Kemper when they built T-Mobile Center. I think people have envisioned going to this for years, seeing the same thing on that in that venue all the time when it's baseball. Like that's where a lot of people that are my age, that the only baseball stadium that they grew up watching the home team is that stadium. Like you are taking away and a lot of people sense childhood memories for them. And therefore, you've got to explain the rationale for why. And so that, I think that's the link between what Vahe and I said. And I think it's a great point that, it's a more difficult ask from the get-go.
One quick thing just to ask you guys, you know, whether it's just a sort of data point or a logic point about what needs to happen for this to go whichever way it's going to go. Would the Royals and Chiefs benefit from a high voter turnout, or would that be a motivated anti group? I mean, there's no way to really know that, but do they want a high voter turnout?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would like prefer more people to vote because I think the average Chiefs fan that, just to be completely brutally honest, that isn't paying quite as close attention, I think would be more likely to support this than those that are really, really plugged into it.
I think the yeses are have spent a lot more money advertising their side. And we've seen Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid and Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez, among others, in commercials for this. So I think the passion is on the yes side. But we've seen in elections previously that, you know, there could be a silent majority here, too. And that could be the case on April 2nd.
Yeah, well, I think that the no's are incredibly well organized, and they think that they have large contingents of people that this affects in the same way. So that would be, look, I mean, recently the Royals have just, you know, we're recording here on Tuesday, just last night on Monday night, they had an event in Independence where they touted all their labor support for this. And like, we should be clear on that. The labor support is for the construction of the stadium, and it makes a lot of sense. This will bring a lot of jobs over this 4 to 5 year period to construct the Royal Stadium. Then we know that the Chiefs are going to construct later because of the World Cup. So you move right on. It's going to be a longer project for these jobs to exist. And so there's reason that a lot of those people are supporting it, and they have valid reasons to support it. The labor groups that do not support this are the ones that want the long existing jobs, the ones in the entertainment district that are not addressed in the CBA. And that group is really, really well organized. And they think that they have enough persuasion or enough numbers even to really affect what this vote's going to be. I'm not saying that turns it from a yes to a no, but it will move the percentage of their support for this project.
What, just one last thing, it sort of fits the whole thing we're talking about, but I find it kind of fascinating, and I do find it to be a dilemma. These are two entirely different concepts. I mean, what the Chiefs want to do and what the Royals want to do are, and yet, for better or for worse, they're tethered together. And you could very well feel like, I'm going to give the Chiefs whatever they want, and I really don't want the Royals messing with downtown, or however you know, or flip it the other way, whatever. But it funnels into one vote. And I think part of what's going to go on here is the question of to what degree the passion for the Chiefs just sort of trumps all, or vice versa, the anger about, you know, disrupting downtown, which that's a whole other plank of this, of it, you know, whether this is the right spot in downtown, all that, but, you know, another time.
How do we feel about the sort of the helicopter view of, you know, public money supporting private companies? I mean, this is, you know, the age old question, right? When it comes to votes for arenas and stadiums and other, and certainly items outside of the sports world too. I you know, that's certainly part of the no argument.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? And but again, as I said earlier, that hasn't dissuaded Kansas Cityans or Jackson Countyans over the years from supporting sports.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely part of what they're dealing with, is that there's been a national shift on that topic over the past 15 years. And so that's already working against them. And I, when I say against them, I mean more so than it did in 2006, for example. But, you know, this is what the experts on these types of community benefits agreements really focus on, is how can you get the community benefit to outweigh the amount that they're putting into the stadium? And I think that the Royals have fallen short on that. And I focus so much on the Royals on that because their project is moving downtown. It is moving to a populated area by businesses. Like, they're going to be displacing businesses. That's also an area where you could put in affordable housing that makes an impact on the community. They're not doing that. It's one of the many items they're allowed to contribute their fund to, but there's no measurable commitment to affordable housing or to the jobs in the entertainment district that have shown that if you have union jobs that have minimum wage floors, it makes real impact on people's lives who need it the very most. And it's disappointing that the Royals did not follow through on that, because they build this as a transformational project for Kansas City. To Vahe's point, that was a part of their original pitch, was what is this going to do for Kansas City? And I think they had an opportunity to answer that very question. Okay, yes, we're asking for money, but here's the impact it's going to have on the community. Instead, we're just getting, you know, these economic impact studies that we all know are inflated.
Just with regard more to the very specific part of your question, I do think it's interesting. I haven't studied these numbers in a way that probably almost certainly you have, Sam, and maybe you also have, Blair. But, okay, so the Royals at this stage have said they're committing $1 billion of private investment to development around there, and what I take to be a couple hundred million towards the stadium itself.
$300 million towards the
stadium. Okay. Yeah. So that's not an insignificant amount. And what I wonder is that a higher percentage than what we've seen in most areas? And do they not get some credit for that? Is that not a little bit of a statement about the billionaires not just asking for billions? Or am I being naive about that?
Well, I mean, there's a reason they're putting their money into the entertainment district, because that's going to net them profits for it. They're not doing that out of the kindness of their hearts. Like, that, they will profit off of that $1 billion. So you look at the $300 million for the stadium and the percentage breakdowns of that. I mean, it's more of a wide range spectrum in baseball than it is in the NFL. I can tell you based on some correspondence that Mike Hendricks and I have obtained with the county and the teams, like the county has been pretty adamantly arguing that there's other teams that have contributed a higher percentage than what the Royals are. I think the Royals would certainly like those numbers grouped together in that $1.3 billion total. But there's a reason, like I said, that their money is covering the sole costs of the district so that they can net those profits as opposed to the stadium. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely something anytime we talk about this project, we need to acknowledge that they are putting in a significant amount of private equity into the project.
One quick aside to this point. So I think it was spring training. When did this first become discussed? Was it spring? Was it fall of 21?
Was it that late? I know that the first public forum was in December or November of 22.
Yeah, December of 22.
But it was first a little earlier hall. That it was.
Yeah.
It was about a year earlier that John Sherman had said that they were going to explore the thought of moving down.
Pretty soon as he became the owner. I mean, when John became the owner. Right.
Well, what I'm remembering is, and this is kind of a funny twist on this, I guess, but being at spring training had to be whatever in the months after it was announced, weeks after they announced they were going to explore this, and they specifically said it. Dayton Moore came into the media room there, and we were just speaking kind of casually, but he started talking about how this is going to dominate his life for the next couple of years because it's the only way the Royals can be competitive is the revenue they can make by doing this. I don't know if it's the only way they can be competitive, but obviously we understand the economic issues in baseball. I felt like in a certain way, he just laid it out in a couple sentences in ways that they haven't really done since then. I kind of wonder if they've missed an opportunity to make that point, because what's funny is a lot of the skepticism started with, or and probably still continues with, you know, we don't want to fans. We don't want to invest in a team that's not, you know, investing in itself. Why should we give you money when you've got a lousy team? Right. That was sort of the tone. I would contend that they should have done a little jujitsu with that and flipped the point. Like, you're right, we need this to be competitive, but that they haven't added that to the articulation of it lately anyway.
I think that's a good way to transition into...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why will it pass? Why will yes prevail on April 2nd? And I think... the Royals, I thought after last season, after the 106 loss season of the Royals, public perception of that organization was pretty low. I felt like to make a stronger argument for supporting a new downtown ballpark or Crossroads ballpark, wherever, whatever we want to define it, they would have to spend some money in the offseason and make a commitment to Bobby Witt Jr. just to show fans that they were committed to improving the product on the field. And that's exactly what happened, right? John Sherman signed Bobby Witt to an 11-year biggest contract in Royals history. They went out and got free agent, especially in the pitching department, and spent money like they never had spent money in the offseason, which I did believe was it when as this was unfolding, I was thinking at the time, well, this will persuade some fence sitting, you know, yes, no people that and then the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, though they win back to back Super Bowls and their popularity never higher.
And, you know, nothing, you know, their brand's never greater. So are those Royal spending and attempting to deliver on, you know, on improving their product and the Chiefs' great popularity right now enough to push this thing over the top for, you know, and have the yes vote prevail?
I think it's going to pass. You know, I wouldn't say I have 100% confidence in that, but I mean, the reason I think is simple, the Chiefs. I mean, this town loves the Chiefs and I think doesn't need the same rationale to vote for it that they feel like they do for the Royals for the reason you outlined, the team that's not historically winning versus a team that's won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. So, you know, as much as we want to analyze the details of it, I think the passing side of this is going to be pretty simple for this, which is they love the Chiefs.
Is it that easy? It could be.
Well, it could be enough, right? And now, there's going to be people that are maybe feel like there's a winning element to coming downtown too, right? So I mean, it could be people that have sort of double the conviction about it. I think there will be people that feel like that. People that are like, Chiefs, we've got to do what we can for the Chiefs no matter what. And also, oh, I'm excited about what this could mean for downtown. I do think you guys have had this happen too, right? Almost anybody you bump into now, you're talking about it. You know, I was walking the dogs, including the menace of Norbert yesterday, and we ran into 3 people who are really angry about some of the things we talked about earlier. Last night, we had dinner with friends who were like, could not wait to get the chance to vote yes on this because they know it's going to catalyze and connect downtown and make for a more dynamic Kansas City. I feel like I hear everybody on this, and you know, nobody's asking, but I still don't really know how I'm going to vote. But I do see the upside, and I think a lot of people do see the upside. Part of the problem is devil's really in the details. And even if it lifts the city in a big picture sense, it's not going to be without repercussions for a lot of people. Specifically, the people in the Crossroads will be affected.
Businesses in the Crossroads.
There are no
residents right, yeah, business, in the area that businesses. They're building the yeah. stadium.
And without those details, it may not be as prosperous as, or at least committed details, right, that are not just substantially committed, but in fact, actually committed. The mechanisms for ensuring that it does the greater good are less evident.
And listen, don't ballparks need to be either refurbished or, you know, built in a different area, Atlanta, Texas?
Well, those examples are great. And I was just thinking about this last night. We're old enough to remember going to Candlestick Park.
Yep.
And that was not in San Francisco. Of course, the 49ers stadium,
Levi's stadium
50 miles away.
Right in San Jose.
But that AT&T stadium or whatever it's called now, that was maybe a reasonable parallel to this in a sense, right? It was outskirts of San Francisco to downtown. Certainly, you've been to Denver a lot. You know the effect that ballpark had being there. Of course, that was
incredible impact.
The franchise itself,
yeah,
too, right?
That's right. But yes, but placing it, moving out of where the Broncos play to its own stadium in the lower downtown area has been incredible for that downtown.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to point to, you know, San Diego, all these things. Now, all these are also imperfect parallels and
funded in different ways.
Funded in different ways is, you know, the biggest point of that, I guess. So, you know, I don't know what the opposite effect has been. I'm trying to think of examples where, you know, it hurt that. I will say this, St. Louis, I mean, Busch Stadium was always down there. But when they did the ballpark village sell and all this stuff, that was not handled right. I mean, if you recall, the bottom line was that they touted this whole thing as a village around it. And that became a big puddle for a couple of years while they built the stadium. And that's a little bit of a cautionary tale in this, too. It's a different area, but it reflects what commitments were in place.
And it has endorsements. My email is filled with information from Yes-siders who identify groups, significant groups that have endorsed the idea of the yes. So it does have support, and I think as we established earlier, the public passion seems to be on the yes side. Is that your interpretation of it? That the advertisement. I don't live in Jackson County, so I don't get mailers, flyers, that sort of thing. But that seems to, I've seen a couple of websites devoted to no, but I haven't seen advertisement devoted to no.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't have the funds that the Chiefs and Royals do. So Mike Hendricks wrote a good story about that on Monday. They're being outspent. I think that the really passionate people are on the no side. I do agree with you that it's more the yes stuff is way more in our faces. I goes back to what I said earlier. I just think that the no side of this is very well organized. And I think they've done this kind of thing before. I think we're seeing, even if these two teams got stuff passed in 2006, there's different actors involved this time around. I mean, the Royals have everyone involved in this was not involved in the 2006 thing. Like, we're seeing a team do this for the first time, really, in that sense. And the people that are on this no side, I've done this against McDonald's and Walmart and Amazon. I mean, they've had these similar projects. I remember at one time Mark Donovan said that it seemed like some of the KC Tenants people, when they interrupted a meeting, it seemed like they were reading from a script. And it's like, they probably have one, you know, they've done this before. And so I don't know how many of those people there are, but I do think that the Royals in particular have underestimated those types of groups' power.
Sam, you've had a really good sense of those types of groups, asks, demands, et cetera. Do you feel like their voices are being heard or dismissed? I mean, that's a little bit of a blunt way to put it, but I mean, do you feel like, and are some of their asks truly extreme, or some of their asks, or most of their asks are really what they should be?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that they're being taken seriously enough. I think these teams think they can get through this project, particularly the Royals, without obliging by some of these requests. And yeah, I mean, some of the asks are extreme. They asked for $100 million upfront injection for affordable housing. We know that was never going to happen. They asked for $10 million annually afterwards for affordable housing. We knew that wasn't going to happen. But I think that they did anticipate a negotiation of some sort. And despite what the Royals said last night at this event, that these groups had all been recognized in the CBA, that's not in the CBA. And they later, they asked for the union jobs, the entertainment district that I mentioned earlier. That's a much less expensive ask. That's not in there. The living wage floor for those employees outside the stadium is not in there. The guarantee that you're going to have local hiring. When you talk to these CBA experts, they all say, I can't believe that's not in there, because that's something everyone is on board with. And to be clear on that piece, like, when this housing coalition left, the labor and housing coalition left the table, they had asked for the hiring hall. They did not see the benefit in the hiring hall if these were not the good jobs that they wanted. They said, well, we don't want all of our local people are hired for what they deem bad jobs, low paying jobs that are not going to make it, that are going to continue to have people work extreme hours in poverty. So I think that was less of an ask after they did not get the minimum wage and the union jobs. But yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I think that they've underestimated this group, and we'll see how much of an impact that has. But it definitely is going to have an impact on the percentage. Even if this passes, that does not mean that these groups did not have an impact in what the total number winds up being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said.
Okay, Sam, you're on record as saying you think yeses will win?
Yeah, I think it's in the 50 to 55% range, but probably closer to 50. I mean, the polling right now, from my understanding of what the teams have received, has it just dead even. And it was not dead even 2 weeks ago. So from 4 days ago compared to 2 weeks earlier, it had moved in the wrong direction, I think, for the teams. Now, what I said earlier, I mean, these types of things have a 5% margin of error. That's pretty significant.
Especially in this case.
Yes. I mean, that's pretty significant. So I think you could have just pulled a different set of people and gotten those results. And so I think making mass conclusions out of that is probably inaccurate, but Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty close, but I just do think it'll pass in the end.
And Vahe, your anecdotal evidence suggests a close race as well.
Yeah, it certainly suggests a close race, and it is purely anecdotal, which I learned from the data guy next to me is different than actual data. But my belief is it will probably pass by a slim margin. It's interesting, though, as we're talking about this, pondering, you know, what's next. And that's probably what you're thinking about if it doesn't pass.
Well, I think it'll pass. I think it'll pass somewhere between 50% and 52%. And I have backed up a little bit on my confidence in this. If you had asked me a month ago, I'd have said yes, 55%. And now I'm closer to the line on this. You're right, Vahe. That is the next question is, if it fails, what's the next step for the Chiefs? You mentioned it earlier, the threat of leaving Jackson County. I don't think we're talking about relocating to a different metropolitan area, certainly not for the Chiefs. But for me, they just go back to the drawing board and put it on. And as I said earlier, in 2004, they lost the vote. It was a bi-state vote for a 3/8-cent sales tax. 2 years later, it was on the ballot just in Jackson County, and it passed. Is that what happens this time?
Well, you're making me think of this, and Sam, let me just sort of tee you up a little bit with this, but I was a little surprised by kind of the fire Mark Donovan had last time we saw him talking about this, and that the way he described it was basically, after all we've done, all we've given up, all we've pointed out, it's a better lease setup, et cetera, et cetera. And this is voted down, then what choice do we have but to look at all options? The part that's left out of that statement is, yeah, but you're not separated from the Royals on this matter. And Sammy, you know, you can speak better to what that will look like when presumably it's sort of cleaved off into two different campaigns next time if this happens, I guess. I mean, that's what my perception
is.
Yeah,
I mean, I have the same thought. I mean, these teams might be trying to really get us to think that they'll leave, but I still think the Chiefs' preference after this would be to stay in Jackson County. And I think if they self-evaluate, if this fails, if they self-evaluate why, their answer is going to be point across the street and say, it wasn't our doing. It's all the questions about this other project that haven't been answered. So let's get rid of those questions and just separate ourselves and go for 3/16. And, you know, I mean, the Chiefs weren't crazy about the 40 years to begin with. They want a 25-year lease anyway. So I still think the most likely outcome if this fails is you see the Chiefs on the ballot by themselves, 3/16 for 25 years. And the Chiefs don't want us to think that. In fact, I think some people in the Chiefs organization would tell me I'm wrong about that. I think they would say, you have no idea what Kansas would offer us if this fails. They're waiting to offer us something because we know their state has the money to do it. The Royals is a bigger question. I mean, Clay County did not have the appetite for what the Royals were trying to sell all of us on, their potential in Clay County with a full cent sales tax. I don't think that's realistic. I think they would have to, as an ownership group, contribute a lot more. They'd have to build a lot more. That was the whole point of this Crossroads project. You'd have to turn around public and say, okay, but now we get to build all this, when this idea is, hey, we don't have to build all of that. So you'd have to have a completely different campaign. You'd have to acknowledge your own faults, which we've not seen this team do for the past year, acknowledge their own mistakes. I don't know what the appetite in Kansas is for the Royals. I think it's odd because if they lure the Royals, they're making it easier for the Chiefs to stay here, I think. And I think they'd much rather have the Chiefs for obvious reasons. So I think there's a lot of questions about what happens to the Royals if this fails.
Fascinating stuff, and we'll get into those questions in a big way a week from today or tomorrow, a week from Wednesday. I think we'll talk again after the vote and see, and just take a snapshot of where we are. It's a big day in the history of Kansas City sports, April 2nd.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mark.
That will do it for this episode. Thanks to producer Monty Davis for putting together the show, and to our SportsBeat KC staff of Randy Mason, Jeff Rosen, and Scott Chasen. Tip of the cap to Vahe Gregorian and Sam McDowell for sharing their insights. You can read the stories of Sam and Vahe and the entire Star Sports staff on this topic and everything else in sports in the Morning Sports Edition. It's the best digital sports page in America. Go to liveedition.kansascity.com. Thanks for listening.
please leave us a comment and a rating. We'll be back soon with another Sports Beat KC, where we talk sports in and around Kansas City.